All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. We're only doing an hour today, so it's going to go pretty quick. There's still some time to get in, but you better do it right now. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, anything goes, press one on your phone right now, and we'll get to you. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your authority, the list goes on and on. If you've got a question about anything at all, pick up the phone, give me a call, we'll talk about it. We're going to get to those calls in just a couple minutes. I think it's pretty obvious for most of us around the country right now, winter's here. The weather's been pretty nasty in a lot of places, even up here in the Pacific Northwest. I think there's one of those El Nino, La Nina, something's going on over one of the oceans somewhere. And it looks like it's going to be a very wet, snowy winter. We're getting hit pretty hard early. Looks like a lot of predictions say it's going to be very snowy this winter. But either way, all it takes is one storm and you not to be prepared, and it can be pretty miserable and it can cost you. So take some time and get your truck ready. It's not that difficult. Throw in some, you know, non-perishable food, you know, cans of tuna fish, beef jerky, MREs, go to, you know, military wholesale and get some MREs, throw those in the truck. Warm clothes, you know, gloves, boots, some long johns, hats. Make sure you've got good cold weather gear in the truck. A pair of insulated coveralls are excellent. Obviously chains or, you know, something like an auto sock, even if you don't go where chains are required, they're great to have. The auto sock's easy to carry. It replaces chains, doesn't take up a lot of space, easy to put on. Get your electrical system in order. I would highly recommend before the end of the year, buy a Maxwell engine start module and, you know, three new yellow top batteries. Get your tax deduction now and be totally prepared. You're never going to need a jump start with that setup. Bottled water, make sure you have plenty of bottled water with you in the truck. Like I say, even if it's not a bad winter, one storm that you're stuck for a couple days out on the road and you will wish you would have gotten this stuff together. And it's not that big of a deal. It'll take a couple hours at most for most of this stuff, but get prepared. Looks like it could be a long winter. Let's see. We don't have a lot of time on these weeknight show, so let's get right to some phone calls. Let's go to Florida. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Hello? Hey, I've got a 07 Freightliner Columbia. I got about 791,000 miles on it. I've been having problems with my front brakes, basically. September, I went into my Freightliner dealership, had the pads, drums, shoes, the whole shooting match there replaced. And ever since then, when I brake and I don't feel in the pedal, the steering wheel will start shimmying, especially, you know, below 60. And not every time, just under certain conditions. I've replaced the slack adjusters, new tires, new leaf springs, new shocks. It's been into a Freightliner six times and same Freightliner group, but once in a different city and five times in my hometown Freightliner. They can't give me an answer at low speeds. After the brakes are a little hot in the front there, they'll squeal when I'm stopping. And if I reverse and use them when they're warm, they'll kind of grind. But nobody can give me an answer, and I'm kind of frustrated. So looking for anybody.
Well, it sounds like two issues.
Can offer.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at this. I'm a little leery considering they've looked at it so many times and they can't figure it out. But a couple things sound a little obvious. Typically, when the brakes squeal or grind, they just used a really cheap pad. You just may want to think about replacing the shoes with a higher quality shoe. That's normally what I find. When they'll squeal a lot, when they grind like that, you know, backing up, they just used a really cheap pad. So I would look at a different, a better quality brake shoe for that issue. The other issue with the steering wheel, feeling that wobble, it would seem to me like this pretty easy to test. You jack up the front wheels, you spin them, you apply the brakes lightly and see if they're grabbing in a high spot. I mean, that's all it sounds to me is like the brake drum's out of round.
Right.
And well, like there's
they,
one
they,
quick.
They replaced. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, there's one quick way to the fix I like for this is the True Balance centering sleeves. Because on the front axle, the True Balance sleeves go through the rim to center the rim, and then they go through the brake drum and they center the brake drum as well. So that's the solution I like. Three of those sleeves on each front wheel usually takes care of this. But there's another way if you don't want to look for the sleeves or wait for them. Jack up the front end, back the lug nuts off just enough so that you want them snug, but the wheel can move up and down because you get a little bit of up and down play on the wheel, and that's what the sleeves will fix. But the other thing you can do is get just a little bit of movement in there so it's snug, apply the brakes. That way the brake shoes expand out. That centers the hub and the drum, and then you tighten down the lug nuts while the brakes are applied, and that gives you a good centering on the drum. You know, it sounds to me like that would take care of this, but I can't imagine they could have missed that after all this time.
Yeah, they've replaced the drums three times, I believe, you know, at their cost, of course, because it's all under warranty. But like I said, I'm just growing frustrated. I've gone out and test driven it with a tech. You know, I mean, they've taken care of me, but they haven't really taken care of me. So, you know, like I said, it's just very frustrating trying to get everything fixed on the fly and keep moving and, you know, in the downtime. So I'm going to be going home at Christmas, and I wanted to take it in and maybe have some information, sadly, to give them that they didn't have for me, you know.
I think I would, like I say, I think I would just try that. I would jack it up, back the lug nuts off just enough so you've got a little movement in the wheel, apply a full brake application, and then tighten the lug nuts back down.
All right. Well, what was the name of that product? You said sleeves. What kind of sleeves were they?
Yeah, they were. The company's called True Balance, TRUBALANCE, and I think it's true-balance.com. is their website. They used to be a partner of ours, and we still love their product. We're not officially partnered with them anymore, but we still love their product. We still support it. It's really excellent for tire wear because it centers the entire wheel assembly. And the older a truck gets, the more play there is in those hub pilot guides. And that's what this does. It takes it from being a hub-piloted wheel and goes back to what we used to use, which were stud-piloted wheels. So now these sleeves, three of them, you slide them right over the lug nut, and it goes through the rim and through the brake drum, and it pulls that up into center.
Okay, well, I'm going to give that a shot. I mean, that it sounds as good as anything that they've come up with, so I'll certainly get online and have them wait for me when I get home at Christmas. So.
Yeah, it seems like the easy answer to me, but I can't believe that they could have missed this, although it's possible. One way to check this for yourself on anybody's truck, if you know where the hub pilots are on your – so if you look at the inside circle of your rim, the front rim, on the inside circle, you're going to see three tabs, kind of. Those are the hub pilots. and they're supposed to center that wheel. But as the truck gets older, they get some wear in them, and they'll allow that wheel to drop. Then when you tighten the lug nuts and it's dropped, your wheel's off center. So you can just get out without doing anything. Take your license or a credit card or a business card and try to slide it between those three hub pilots and the rim. And my guess is two of them, it's not going to go slide into, and one of them, it's going to slide right into. And when it does that, that'll tell you you're off center. And like I say, you can either use the trick where you apply the brakes and then tighten it down, or the True Balance sleeves will keep those centered all the time. Let's go to Missouri. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, today. Okay. I was just listening to your call there to the brakes. Did he say he had brake shoes put on?
He did. Hold that thought. The music's playing. We're going to get to a break. I wasn't paying attention to the clock. I will come right back to you right after this. Stick around. We've got more stuff right around the corner. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The number to join us, 8888 Road Dog. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. I was talking with Ken in Missouri. Ken, go ahead.
Hello. Just a bit on that caller, and then I'll get to my question. Last year, about this time, I had new brakes on the steer axle put on and Centromatics, and developed a shake in the steering wheel under braking. And I talked to Mike Beckett, and he says that's probably because the new brake linings now are more aggressive. Now, this problem has kind of wore its way out, and I don't really have that problem anymore. But he said that with the new braking standards, the replacement brakes are being made more aggressive than what they used to be. So that just may be his brakes just being more aggressive than what he was used to.
Yeah, grabbing a little bit. And that's where it makes that getting that wheel centered even more important. And that may be why he's noticing it now, because that brake pad is more aggressive. But it never hurts to get those wheels centered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I had the Centromatics, and then I also have the True Balance on there. But I said in the new brake shoes and that, I thought it might have been related to the Centromatics. But Mike says, no, it's just more than likely you just got extra aggressive brakes on there than what you were used to, and it did ultimately wear itself away. So
got it. You know,
it just might take time. Now on to the question. You got your tax hat on?
I do.
Okay. Well, in the past, I had health insurance, and you put that on a schedule somewhere in your tax return to get the tax benefit out of that. And I've got a couple months of that this year. And as of March, I switched over to Medicare. Now, the supplement I get, is that still treated the same way? And also the fact that I am just making the payments to Medicare because I'm not collecting Social Security yet, are those going to be tax beneficial to me?
The premiums that you pay for any supplemental insurance are deductible as self-employed health insurance. So that still is. Any other cost technically they're tax deductible. The problem is you have to get to such high limits that nobody ever really gets to deduct much medical. I mean, unless you paid a tremendous amount of money out of pocket. Just to give you an idea, the first 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, which is a number that takes, you know, multiple calculations to get to. But once we get to adjusted gross income, the first 7.5% doesn't count at all. So if you're at $50,000, like the first $4,000 of medical expense isn't deductible at all. Then you lose out another couple percent because you have to itemize them on Schedule A. So if you can't itemize, then you don't get any credit for it. So technically, medical costs are deductible, so we should keep track of them. But 95% of the people never get a deduction for those kind of out-of-pocket costs.
So then my Medicare supplement insurance will be treated just like it was regular health care I had before that. And
yep.
And then the same would be for my actual premiums that I pay to Medicare itself?
Yes. Yep.
So those would all be treated the same. Now, looking back, since the wife has been on Medicare for a while, but I guess that doesn't help me out anyway for her premiums, because being with me being self-employed and her being retired.
Correct. Yeah, you would, if, you know, if you look at it and there's enough of a benefit there, you could always make her part of the business to get that deduction.
Right. Probably not. I don't work, yeah. You know, I don't work that much anymore.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. No. That's right. Probably. You know,
I'm sitting at home today and I'm waiting for tomorrow so I can leave to do my required 3 days a week and then come back home.
There you go.
You know, so
life is good.
Yeah, but I just wanted to see about that the supplements, if that's just handled the same way as the regular insurance would have been. And you guys have happy holidays.
You too. You too. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. Let's go to South Dakota. Brian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Bridget should have sent over my blood work from an insurance thing that I've got going. I wonder if you take a look at it. There was one item that I'm a little concerned about.
Which one are you concerned about? Because I have the numbers here in front of me.
I think they highlighted as a high the triglycerides.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your diet for the last, say, 3 months or so.
Well, I've been on the ketogenic diet all of that time and plus. And try to stay pretty strict to it. So, and I do some exercising about 2 times a week and try to eat healthy. So
tell me the results when you went keto. How many things changed? Did you lose weight? Do you feel like you have more energy? Did any symptoms go away? How did your body respond to being in ketosis?
Well, the biggest change was not being hungry. Seemed like I didn't have to eat as much or as often. I usually eat breakfast, and I eat about a 2 o'clock meal every day, and that's what I did for almost a year. Felt good. Did lose five, 6 pounds, but I didn't need to lose a whole lot of weight anyway. So I guess the energy level is great. I mean, I feel great. So
okay. And that's kind of what I'm looking for, because what I'm thinking – most of your numbers cholesterol-wise are really good. Your total cholesterol, which I kind of ignore anyway, is excellent. Your LDL is really good. Your HDL is actually low. And it's not so much that your triglycerides are high. They're maybe borderline high. But it's more your your HDL being low that is causing some of your ratios to come back. Like your cholesterol to HDL ratio is fine. Your HDL to LDL ratio is excellent. Your triglycerides to HDL is the one ratio that just doesn't look very good. And it's because your triglycerides are a little high and your HDL is low. The reason I asked about your diet was because the only way I've ever seen to fix those two numbers is a really good low carbohydrate, high fat diet. So tell me about the kind of fats you're eating.
Repeat that, Kevin. I didn't catch the last one.
Tell me about the kind of fats you're eating.
Okay, well, I have hot chocolate in the morning with the butter and the brain octane. I eat an avocado every day. I eat lots of vegetables. Of course, I don't have much fat. I can't think of anything else. I really do. Probably that's what I need to do is eat more fat.
I think you do. And that's why the HDL is actually low and the triglycerides are high. I have a feeling that you're consuming a lot more omega-6 than you are omega-3. This is one of the biggest challenges we see with people on the road. So omega-3s, where we're going to get omega-3 is from really high-quality meat. So all grass-fed, grass-finished beef, pastured pork, pastured chicken, the stuff that is really difficult to find on the road. And we know, we keep looking for more and more solutions for people because we know that this is a tough thing to get omega-3. The other place, the best source of omega-3 is seafood. So the one thing you can do in the truck, as long as you like it, is like a good high-quality tuna in a can, high-quality salmon in a can, sardines and anchovies are excellent. So if you can add canned food, high-quality, not like chicken of the sea, get like a Vital Choice. We're actually thinking about, you know, putting Vital Choice canned seafood in our store just to make it easy to find. So if you look for good quality canned seafood, then that's going to help bring that omega-3 ratio up. The other thing you can do, the other thing we're looking at, I'm trying to find a good, inexpensive home test for omega-3 and 6 ratio. So it'd be like the FIT test where you just do a drop of blood on the card, send it in, and then that tells us the ratio. Then we know exactly what we're dealing with. But we can assume that your ratio is bad. Everybody's is. And when you're on the road, I know it's going to be bad because it's so easy to get omega-6. They're everywhere. And it's so hard to get omega-3. So that's the first thing I would do. That a high-fat, low-carb diet is the only thing that's going to fix these two numbers. But you've got to really work to get more omega-3s. You may want to consider the supplement we have in the store called Optimal EFA. So that is a balance of omega-3, 6, and 9. So getting all three balanced is really good. And it's hard to do with food. It's easier to do with that supplement. So you may want to check that out in the store. That's Optimal EFAs. And then we may need to deal with your digestion as well. And this week on Destination Health, we're going to do a segment on a digestive protocol. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. Anytime you hear me talk about supplements, the Optimal EFAs, I could recommend that to everybody because I haven't tested anybody yet who has ideal ratios on 3 and 6, and certainly not on 3, 6, and 9. Even as hard as I work at, you know, I only eat pastured, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, pastured pork, pastured chicken, local eggs. When I'm on the road, I can't do that as easily. When I'm home, I do it, and I hardly ever eat out. I still have, if I want ideal ratios of 3 and 6, I've got to take the optimal EFAs as well. So if you're suffering from any kind of inflammation, any pain, anything that's associated with inflammation, it is because of a poor omega 3 and 6 ratio. So that that supplement will go a long way towards fixing that problem. Let's go to Georgia. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
I had an oil sample for you to look at.
All right. Let's take a look at that. Let's see what we've got going on here. So this is a... Go ahead.
In May, I had the over... I think it was in May, where there's an oil sample in that range somewhere in May or April. I had the overhead running, 6 injectors put in it because it was getting pretty bad on fuel dilution. So,
yeah, and the fuel dilution looks better now. I mean, it's come down both samples, so that's a good sign. I think we've got that taken care of. But what's gotten worse is soot. What year is this truck?
03.
So this is pre-EGR. Just to give you an idea, Tamol, on a pre-EGR Series 60, I shoot to get the soot down less than 0.1. And we're pretty successful in getting it there on a Series 60, a pre-emission. When this engine is tuned right, set up right, running right, they put out very, very little soot. Instead of being under 0.1, you're at 3.7. That is one of the highest readings I've seen on a pre-emission Series 60. So for some reason, this engine is producing a lot of soot.
Well, they said, the guy from OPS called me, and he said maybe it's because they got something too tight with the overhead, and I was concerned, too, that the leads coming up or the copper, one or the other. I don't remember which one.
Well, anytime we start to get soot buildup in the oil, the lead is getting high. And that's an indication that we're starting to wear out the outer surface of the rod and main bearings. Copper will come next, and then that's when we're going to need bearings. But that's high soot. The soot gets abrasive inside the oil, and we start seeing high wear metals. So okay. It could be the overhead. In fact, I would have to believe that the overhead is out of adjustment. We would also want to check intake, make sure we don't have a clogged or restricted air filter. We want to make sure we don't have any leaks right anywhere in the intake, turbo, clamps, hoses.
That's the other thing. When they did the overhead, they did have to replace the intake because it was leaking.
Okay. I think that this truck needs a little TLC. I don't know, because that was back in May, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually gotten worse since May. So I think they did get right something wrong on the top end. We also want to look at exhaust restriction. You know, if this is an original factory muffler, it's probably loaded up with soot. I would replace that with a high-flow muffler. Right. And, you know, maybe look at the ECM tuning as well. But I would get on this fairly quick, or you're going to need a set of bearings.
All right. I appreciate it. Oh, one other question.
Sure.
Can you write off, I had to pay, I had a minor accident. I had to pay the deductible. Is that tax deductible? The deductible amount I had
it
to
is
pay?
Yep, absolutely.
How would I put that under on my profit gauges?
Maintenance. Because it went for repairs, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not on my vehicle, on the other vehicle I hit.
No, that's fine. It's still, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a repair, even though it was somebody else's. That's deductible to you. So I would just throw that deductible amount under maintenance in profit gauges. Let's go to California. Gene, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
Can I help you?
For you. 2008 Kenworth EGR delete's been done to it. I was interested in buying it, but we don't know what the parameters are. We don't know what the fuel mileage is. Would it be hard to get shops to work on that truck? And should I buy it or should I run from it?
Here's the problem. It's saying EGR delete is kind of meaningless because I've seen it done a thousand ways. I mean, I've seen people throw a little, change a sensor and call it an EGR delete. I've seen full blown where every single part of the EGR system is gone and the program's completely redone. There's no way for me to know what EGR delete means. Where is this truck physically located?
It's actually in upstate New York. It was one of my buddy's trucks, and he went belly up on it. So, but I remember when they sent the computer somewhere to Florida, and they sent it back, and then the truck didn't run. Then they sent the computer back there, and he got it back, and it's running. But, you know, as far as what the parameters are or anything like that, I don't know what they did in it.
Yeah, and that's the concern, is we don't know what they've done. It wouldn't totally scare me away, but I'll tell you what, the only way I would consider buying this truck is if I could get the entire truck down to Pittsburgh Power. They'll be able to look at the delete. Go ahead.
I called them. They won't touch it. I did call them. Oh. That's why I was calling you for a second opinion. They won't touch it. Unless,
then I would stay.
You're putting it back to stock.
Yeah, then I would stay away from it. Yep.
Okay. One other question for you. I think I'm ready to start doing an oil sample on my truck. Could you put me through so I could order a kit?
I will. I will get you back over to Bridget, and we will get you hooked up. Let me get to another call, and we're going to head off to Tennessee. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, I got a glider question for you. I got a 2012 Columbia that I bought 6 months ago, and I knew I was going to have driveline issues, and I tried to stay ahead of it. I put in a clutch before it failed, and when he took out the transmission, it started seeping and stuff around the bell to the transmission area, and I guess the input shaft, that seal there. Should I have replaced that when I did the clutch as well? I didn't notice it seeping till after I did the clutch, and then 3 weeks later, I melted gears.
Ooh, you know, it's hard to say who did the clutch.
Penn Diesel in Pennsylvania. So it was. I have a Detroit. So it's a Detroit shop. I'm thinking I probably should have went to Pittsburgh Power because that was an option. I just didn't get a quote from them.
Yeah, you know, I would have been fine letting a shop like this do it. So I don't see that was a big issue. I'm surprised they didn't catch something. And sometimes it's one of those things that it's just timing. You know, when they did it, there was nothing wrong with it. There was no reason for them to replace it. And then afterwards it fails, but it might not have anything to do with what they did. Our first inclination is always to think, well, they were in there, something got screwed up, but sometimes just a coincidence. So it's really hard to say why this started leaking, but my guess is there wasn't a problem when they did the clutch.
No, it was dry. I changed the gear oil 2 months earlier. I hadn't lost any. They claimed, which I'm sure is standard procedure, when you do a clutch, you're going to check the oil levels in the transmission. That's what I'm being told anyway.
This is one of those things that I wouldn't beat yourself up over or them. I don't think that there was a problem. I think that this failed afterwards, and it's just one of those things that just a coincidence. There's the music. I've got to get to a break. We will come right back and get to more of your calls and questions right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment, so I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. We are off to Maryland. Les, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. I need some clarification on definitions on tax items.
Okay.
What is the difference? What's the difference between a write-off, a deduction, and an expense?
Nothing. All three of those are the same.
Okay. So it all it's just they're using different words to say the same thing. All right.
Correct.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, let me, before you run off, let me explain where things will make a difference, what word you use. Those three, write-off, deduction, expense, all they're describing the same thing. Where you will see this, and they'll typically use the word expensing rather than depreciating. That's where we get into a difference. So forget the other two words right now, deduction and write-off. Those are the same as an expense or expensing. And what that's saying is you bought an item, and let's say the item was $3,000. Doesn't really matter. Whatever the price is, you deduct it all off of your tax return right now, the total cost. So we could call that expensing. We could call it deducting. We could call it a write-off. But where whatever you paid for that item, you deduct all at one time. That's called expensing. If the item falls into certain categories, like a truck or a trailer or an APU, usually big ticket items, then we have to depreciate them, meaning we take the deduction over a period of tax years. That's really where that word expensing comes in. We either expense an item, meaning we write it all off right now, or we depreciate it. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot more sense. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Virginia. James, welcome to the program. James, are you with me?
Oh, yep, there it is. Sorry, dropped out right there. I wasn't sure you were talking to me. All right, I've been listening to your show for a while, and despite the fact that I am an over-the-road driver, I drive a minivan, so some of the stuff I can implement, some of it I can't. But one of the questions I had was about tracking my mileage. Since I am not driving a truck, I do use it for some personal stuff when I'm at home. And so the question is can I just write down my mileage when I start my trip and then write it down when I end the trip instead of keeping track of a daily log of my mileage and then write that off on my taxes, or do I still need to do a daily log?
No, you don't have to do daily. You can do a trip log. So it doesn't have to be every single day. If you're gone on a 3 or 4 or 5 or 15-day trip, doesn't matter. You can log that whole trip as one. So you might, and I would highly recommend using some sort of an app for this, some sort of a phone app or something along those lines. But you could say you leave, you know, Sunday night and you don't come back till Friday morning. You could log that whole trip at, you know, something like Ohio to Texas and back, and, you know, 1,823 miles total for the trip. That'd be fine.
Okay. And then as far as the per diem, just keep a tally of each night on the way. And
yep. You know, just same thing. Yeah. Just some sort of a log. Go ahead.
Okay. So I kind of need to keep track of where I'm staying, but not just count numbers.
Correct. And the other thing, per diem is usually pretty easy to verify. You know, keep a written log that says on this night I was here, this night I was here, just general city and state. And if we ever needed to prove, it's pretty simple because you're going to have fuel receipts. There are going to be toll receipts. There's going to be maintenance receipts. You know, it's pretty obvious if you fueled up in Dallas and you live in Ohio, you weren't at home. So, yeah, keep a written log of per diem and trip logs of the miles, and you'll be all set. Let's go to North Carolina. Henry, welcome to the program.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener. I want to go out on my own. I want to operate it. But I do not want one of the emission trucks.
Okay.
What I'm looking to do is John Deere has where you're hauling the tractors and the dry van, and they prefer it that way as opposed to flatbed. And I was thinking of something with a tractor where you got one axle you can raise up when you're not loaded, and the same thing on a trailer. Is it feasible to do that?
Oh, absolutely. We've built lots of combinations like that. So we have taken a what's called a 6x4 tractor, meaning it's a tandem axle with both axles being driven, and we've converted the front axle to a liftable trailer axle. So you pull out the power divider, the front differential, you run a drive shaft straight to the rear differential, and then you put in a liftable axle. That modification, if you have a shop do it, is about $6,000. So that's not a cheap modification, but it does improve fuel economy by about a half mile per gallon. So it takes maybe a year and a half in fuel savings to pay for that. A lift axle on a trailer is drop dead simple. Depending on the model of trailer, I've seen lift axles done for $400 or $500 on a trailer.
Okay. Because my wife, all she keeps telling me is you're out of your mind. But it's like, if it's not on the road, it's saving money.
Oh, absolutely.
The other thing tractor-wise,
we started doing
We started doing
lift axles back in 08, and we've helped a ton of people convert to a 6x2.
Because the other thing is, I know hardly anything about. I've been in the trucking business 5 years, and I know some with brokers and all that, but it's with C.H. Robinson, and I keep hearing you talk about your program, and usually every time I get to where I can use the internet, it doesn't work. I'm trying to find out more about your program that you're talking about with the book and all that, where you said you got the worksheets to do different things.
Yeah, we have an entire program about how to get started. It literally covers everything you could possibly need to know. We have checklists, we have worksheets, we have audio so you can listen to it while you're going down the road. We have video that you can watch. The whole program covers everything you need to know how to get started from start to finish. The program's called Stop Holding the Steering Wheel and Start Driving Your Business, and you can pick it up in our store.
Okay, because right now I keep putting money aside, and so far in the last 3 years, I've gotten $15,000 so far, and it's like, I keep telling her, it's like, got to do it within like 7 years, get out on our own.
Yeah, well, this program is the only one like it. There's nothing else on the market. I've looked everywhere. It is very, very complete and comprehensive. It's everything you need to know. Now, I am in the middle of a project to put that as an online course. Right now, it is a physical program that when you buy it, we will ship it out to you. I'm building it as an online course, and we'll be able to make it even better there because we're going to add some video. We're going to add some conference call options so you can ask questions. But when that becomes available online, there will be a special offer for people who have bought the physical product. So don't wait for me to get it online because it's a lot of work. I don't have a timeline done yet. I don't know when I'm going to be able to finish it. I would like to finish it before February is kind of my target date, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make that. So don't wait. Buy the program now, the physical program. And when we release the online course, we'll have a really, really good special for people who have already bought the physical product in case you do want to go through the online course. So you can get that at the store, letstruck.com/store, or you can always call us. And our Tribe Care team can answer your questions about just about anything and get that out to you. So that number is 855-800-FUEL, 855-800-3835. That'll get you the program. It's called Stop Holding the Steering Wheel and Start Driving Your Business. There really is nothing else like this program. Everything you need to know about how to get started right, and be successful and make lots of money is in that program. All right, there's the music. That means I've got to get out of here. We will see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for the Power Hour. See you then.